Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Partners REIT fourth quarter results conference call. Please be advised that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Derrick West, CFO. Please go ahead, Mr. West.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. With me on the call is Jane Domenico, Partners Chief Operating Officer and Interim Chief Executive Officer. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that during the conference call, we may make certain forward-looking information statements. Statements of forward-looking information. This forward-looking information is based on a number of assumptions and is subject to a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those disclosed or implied. I direct you to our earnings release, the management discussion and analysis, and other securities filings for additional information about these assumptions, risks, and uncertainties. I'll lead off this morning's call with a brief review of Partners' financial results for both the quarter and the year. Following a review of our results, Jane will provide some commentary on the quarter and our strategic outlook for 2015. Partners' revenue from income-producing properties for the fourth quarter and full year were $15 million and $60 million, respectively. This represented increases of 1% and 6% when compared to the same periods in 2013. These increases were due to a full period of contributions in 2014 from the six properties acquired during 2013, which were partially offset by the sale of three Ontario properties during late September of 2014. The quarterly increase was primarily due to the recognition of an additional $400,000 in realty tax recoveries to revenues, an amount that was offset by an equivalent increase to realty tax expenses. As a result, this increase did not generate incremental NOI, but did affect quarterly gross revenue. The full year of 2014 revenue increase was due to a full period of contributions 2014 from the six properties acquired during 2013, and as mentioned, was partially offset by the sale of the three Ontario properties at the end of the third quarter. Partners recorded a net loss of $3 million in the fourth quarter, a $6 million improvement when compared to the same period in 2013. This improvement was primarily due to lower fair value losses year over year. For the full year, Partners recognized a net loss of $27 million, a $31 million decline when compared to the prior year. This decrease was primarily the result of two non-operational matters, an increase in fair value losses of $24 million, and an increase to other corporate transaction costs of $5.5 million. During 2014, management obtained 23 external appraisals, representing 66% of the REIT's portfolio value. These appraisals, combined with significant management review of the stabilized NOI, capitalization rates, and the present value of lease-up costs, have resulted in a material adjustment to the value of the REIT's income-producing properties. For the year ended December 31, 2014, the REIT recognized a total of $28 million in fair value losses across its portfolio. These fair value losses consist of $18 million related to six properties acquired during 2013, which were previously valued at the purchase price plus closing costs. $8 million at one of the REIT's Ontario properties, which requires extensive capital upgrades and recently lost an anchor tenant, and $2 million across the remaining portfolio resulting from new appraisals received and from managing adjusting capitalization rates based on comparable market transactions. Management is very confident that after recognizing $28 million in fair value losses during 2014, combined with the $11 million in fair value losses recognized by current management for the fourth quarter of 2013, that there should be less volatility in the future value of the REIT's income-producing properties. Furthermore, when also considering the 13 external appraisals performed during 2013, over the last five quarters, the REIT has received appraisals covering 28 of its 36 properties, or 78% of the value of the income-producing properties as at the end of 2014. All property NOI for the fourth quarter was $8 million, a decrease of $1 million when compared to the same period in 2013. This decrease was primarily due to the sale of three Ontario properties at the end of the third quarter of 2014, as well as the recognition of a $200,000 bad debt provision. All property NOI for the full year of 2014 was $36 million, an increase of $1 million when compared to the same period in 2013. This increase was due to the full period of contributions in 2014 from the six properties acquired during the 2013 year, and this was partially offset, again, by the sale of the three Ontario properties in late September of 2014, along with increased property operating costs, mainly caused by a $700,000 bad debt provision. Same property NOI, which removes the effect of the REIT's acquisition and dispositions, decreased modestly for both the fourth quarter and the full year of 2014. These decreases were mainly due to the aforementioned bad debt provisions. Funds from operation for the fourth quarter were $1.1 million, a 55% decrease when compared to last year. This decrease was due to a $500,000 mortgage penalty cost incurred by the early repayment of a second mortgage that was undergoing a refinancing. There was also $600,000 from the loss of income from the sale of the three Ontario properties during September 14, and $300,000 from increased general and administrative expenses. Funds from operations for the full year were $9.5 million, a decrease of 24% when compared to last year. This decrease was due to a $700,000 receivable provision and a $1 million in increased general and administrative expenses and the aforementioned mortgage penalty cost. Adjusted funds from operations for the fourth quarter worth $1.3 million, a 58% decrease when compared to the fourth quarter of last year. For the full year, adjusted funds from operations were $9.8 million, a decrease of 24%. These factors were driven by most of the same factors as the FFO declines and further compounded by increased maintenance-related spending on the REIT's property portfolio. During 2014, the REIT recognized that $2 million of its $4.8 million in capital expenditures related to non-revenue-enhancing capital or sustaining capital, whereas for 2013, the REIT only recognized $200,000 of a $7.7 million capital spending as being sustaining capital. This $1.8 million increase in 2014 sustaining capital resulted in an incremental deduction in 2014's AFFO as compared to the prior year, which is a 7.7 cent impact per unit year over year. The AFFO cash payout ratio for the fourth quarter was 114% compared to 106% for the fourth quarter of last year. Based on the REIT's 26.4 million units outstanding as at the end of 2014, our ongoing annual distribution is equivalent to 67% of 2014's reported AFFO. Partners' total assets as at December 31, 2014 decreased by $53 million or 9% when compared to the balance as at December 31, 2013. This decrease primarily was a result of the sale of the three Ontario properties for a reduction of $32 million and $28 million related to the fair value losses recognized on the REIT's property portfolio. These factors were partially offset by a small increase to our working capital. Partners' total debt as at December 31, 2014 decreased by $15 million or 14% when compared to the balance at December 31, 2013. This decrease was a result of a disposal of a total of $19 million in mortgages as part of the sale of the three Ontario properties, $32 million in loan maturities, $9 million in regular monthly principal repayments on the REIT's mortgages, along with the repayment of a $31 million credit facility. These factors were partially offset by both the $74 million in new mortgages and $2 million in regular amortization of deferred financing costs. During the fourth quarter, the REIT closed on five financings totaling $51 million at an average interest rate of 3.74% with a 6.86 term to maturity and a 25-year amortization. Also, to assist the REIT's relatively light liquidity position, the REIT closed, secured a $10 million line of credit was obtained through second mortgages. Furthermore, subsequent to the quarter end, Partners closed on $5 million in new financings at a weighted average interest rate of 2.88%. This underlines the quality of our portfolio and the REIT's improving access to cost-effective capital. Our debt-to-gross book value was 66.9% or 54.2% when excluding the impact of convertible debentures. These metrics stood at 66.4% and 52.2% respectively at the end of 2013. At the end of the fourth quarter, partners had $65 million or 26% of mortgages maturing during the period from January 1 of 2015 to the end of December 31, 2016. These maturities over the next 2 years provide us with an opportunity to continue to refinance this portion of our debt at current market rates, which should result in a slight reduction to the REIT's financing costs. Partners' interest coverage ratio as at the conclusion of the fourth quarter was 1.84, a decrease from 2.1 at the end of 2013. Our debt service coverage ratio was 1.24, a decrease from 1.43 at the end of 2013. These declines can be attributed to a combination of new mortgages and draws on the credit facility in 2014 and a convertible debenture offering in 2013. These factors were partially offset by net income contributions from the newly acquired properties. Partners' net asset value was $5.65 per unit at the conclusion of the fourth quarter, a decrease of $1.46 per unit when compared to its level at the end of 2013. As a reminder, net asset value is a measure of the partner's total assets less the REIT's liabilities and is represented on the balance sheet as unit holders' equity. The decrease in the net asset value is primarily due to a $28 million or $1.07 per unit reduction to the fair value of the REIT's property portfolio and $8.8 million in other transaction costs, which is equivalent to 33 cents per unit. Before I turn the call over to Jane, I would like to highlight a change in the way we will be recognizing sustaining capital expenditures going forward. Beginning in the first quarter of 2015, the REIT will report its maintenance-related capital expenditures based on a 60-cent per square foot reserve. During the fourth quarter of 2015, the REIT will adjust the total to true up for the full year. In 2014, we reported actual sustaining capital of $2 million or 79 cents per square foot based on year-end square footage. On a go-forward basis, following a bit of catch-up in 2014, based on 2014 actuals and current expectations, management believes that 60 cents per square foot will closely approximate actual maintenance-related capital expenditures. I'll now turn the call to Jane, who will provide some operational commentary.
Thank you, Derek, and good morning, everyone. Before I provide specific operational remarks, I'd like to echo the comments I made within yesterday's press release. 2014 was a year of many challenges here at Partners. Not only were we faced with extraordinary corporate events, there was also property-level challenges. We came to recognize our property portfolio had come to require not only capital investment, but also greater operational attention. Deploying the capital required to perform the necessary improvements to our portfolio placed further pressure on our weakened balance sheet. Additionally, we felt it prudent to revisit the REIT's historical recovery ratios and recovery methodologies, valuations, and bad debt practices. Combating these challenges required both hard work and even harder decisions. We overhauled the REIT's leadership and implemented a comprehensive review of our business and our strategic options. We then executed upon multiple actions intended to both strengthen our balance sheet and generate the capital required to for reinvestment within our property portfolio. The most difficult of these actions was our decision to reduce our monthly distribution to 25 cents per unit on an annualized basis. This reduction created annual savings of approximately $6 million. At the end of September, we sold a small portfolio of three Ontario properties. This sale provided us with net proceeds of approximately $15.5 million. Finally, we refinanced six of our properties through first mortgages that have amounted to a total of approximately $74 million. The combination of our refinancing activities, property sales, and adjusted distribution served to considerably stabilize partners' financial position. Our goal is now to maximize the potential of our assets, both by attracting the best possible tenants for our vacancies and by carefully deploying capital towards the measured and advantageous improvement of our current property portfolio. One benefit of the past year's challenges has been to give us a very clear understanding of both our strengths and weaknesses. As we execute upon our strategic objectives for 2015, we will seek to both capitalize on our strengths and address those areas where we can improve. I'll now move to more some specific operational commentary. Partners' occupancy at the conclusion of 2014 was 94.3%, a decrease from 96.4% recorded at the prior year. The REIT will have lease expiries of 7.1% and 14.7% respectively over the balance of the current year and 2016. We are working proactively with existing and potential new tenants to address these pending expiries and vacancies. Of the leases that were vacant or expired during 2014, 459,000 square feet have been renewed or replaced. The balance of 92,000, comprising of 22 vacancies, will require new prospects. I spoke a moment ago about areas where we believe we can improve, and the management of both our current vacancies and upcoming expiries is certainly one of those areas. This is an extremely competitive retail leasing environment. The strength of the U.S. dollar has encouraged caution among Canadian businesses, while the departure of Target from the marketplace has created a considerable amount of available space. In this environment, our ability to remain competitive and attract new tenants will require that we offer attractive value in terms of both the quality of our properties and services, as well as the level of our pricing. However, I am confident that we have the right people and structure in place to be better in this area than we have in the past. On the topic of new potential tenants, I'd like to speak specifically about our Evergreen property in British Columbia. The administrative aspects of preparing for and evaluating the project are nearing completion. And once they are finished, we receive board approval. We will be able to move forward quickly. I should have a further update on Evergreen at the time of our next conference call. I also hope to communicate more regarding the progress of our entire property portfolio at that time. The strategic review continues to explore potential options for providing value to our unit holder. However, in the absence of a transaction, the clearest route towards creating this value is to focus on the properties we currently own, placing the best possible tenants within those properties and providing those tenants with the best possible service. It is hard work and not very glamorous, but in my opinion, it is one of the few real estate strategies that delivers consistent results. With the challenges of 2014 behind us, I look forward to delivering upon these objectives. Operator, please open the phone line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Andy Crystal of Royal Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm just wondering, in terms of the property operating expense, it looks like it's up a bit over the past quarter. Is that because some of the property management fees was located in that, and then also the bad debt expense?
It would be yes to the bad debt expense. There was, during the quarter, just over a $200,000 amount that was included, and those expenses would be non-normalized. And realty taxes was also up because of that classification treatment where we increased property tax revenue by $400,000 and realty tax expenses by $400,000 with no effect to NOI. Property management fees are on their own separate line, and there was an actual decrease year over year during the quarter, so there would have been no impact from that during the fourth quarter.
Okay, and so just to understand, if the $200,000 bad debt expense, would that have the effect of increasing NOI, all else being the same, or would that, was that stripped out
that
to get
the... That would have been a reduction to the NOI and an increase to the property operating expenses. So the $8,072,182 in NOI was reduced by just over $200,000 in a catch-up bad debt provision.
Okay, so if that...
We would not view that as a normalized amount going forward.
The, so a normalized NOI would be effectively $200,000 higher for that quarter?
Or? I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. In terms of the convertible debentures that you guys have outstanding and looking to lower your cost of capital, any thoughts on possibly doing a normal course issuer bid for that?
Yeah, I mean, because we're under strategic review, all options are on the table and being considered, and so we're not in a position that we can issue any press release for guidance on it. But you know, we are in a situation that we have been able to access capital from the mortgage markets. We would expect that we would have options from a new convertible debenture issue, possibly from an equity issue and other means. But until we have more clarity and public guidance on strategic review, we are restricted in providing any specific guidance on the convertible debentures that, effective in April, we do have the ability to redeem, and we'll have a year to do so. And so obviously something will need to get done, and it has management's attention.
So why is it exactly that you guys are restricted? It's just you can't, like, even from a corporate side, you can't just, you're just not allowed to issue a normal course issuer bid? Or is it that you think it's going to be easier to get a transaction possibly completed, just keeping everything how it is?
Well, we've been under strategic review since last May, and as a consequence, there's been, some robust discussions that there were some start and stops as a consequence of waiting for the completion of the rescission. And until that process is completed, it's not that we would not be moving forward with a public disclosure on what we would be doing with regards to the convertibles. But obviously, we do understand that we need to replace them within the year, and that we do have opportunities to do so at a more attractive rate than the 8% coupon currently existing.
Sure. And would that be just based on capacity for adding more mortgage debt to a few of your properties that might be underlevered?
That would not be as easy to come up with the funds that would be required to take out a $28 million maturing convertible debenture. It would be very difficult to do that in a cost-effective way when you look at all the agreements on our mortgages. And as a consequence, the convertibles would need to get replaced through an equity or a new convertible debenture issue. And of course, the third option, which management never directly runs to, but obviously there is the capacity to dispose of a high net value property and apply the net proceeds against the convertible, but it would have to make sense to do that, as any of the options would. But those are the three options on the table, and once we have more clarity on the strategic review, management will be able to implement as will be directed to by our independent board of trustees.
Okay, sure. And in terms of mortgages that are maturing this year, what point of the year do you think you guys are looking to have those refinanced, and what type of dollar cost savings can we expect on those?
Yes, the first, we have four mortgages maturing this year. The first one was matured already in February, and we refinanced that along with two what we call sister properties with the same lenders, and it was a $5 million in financings at a weighted average of 2.88%. Later in the year, in the fall, we have three other properties, one in October, one in November, one in December, that will come to maturity, and we will achieve an interest rate savings on all three of those properties, but I have not done the calculation, but I can tell you what those interest rate properties are. and knowing the current rates that we've been achieving. Those loans right now, one in at 6.35%, one is 6.07%, and one is 5.76%. So there's an average there of approximately 6%, and we've been accessing capital now near 3. So we would certainly be looking at a 3% savings over those maturing balances, which at this time will total, when they are taken out, $11.2 million.
Okay, sure. That's very helpful. And then just going forward, the property management fees, is this kind of a normal level, about $175,000, $200,000, or should we expect it to go back up to what we were seeing in Q1, Q2, Q3?
Yeah. Do you want to answer that, Jane, while I go back?
Yeah. The property management fees will have a – we only have a partial in one of our regions in the fourth quarter in terms of our BC region. The transition to that. So there will be a slight increase, but not to the same levels we saw in 2014.
Just to go back, the maturing mortgages total $30.8 million. I think I said 10 or 11. I read the wrong number to you. So
sure.
It's about $31 million in maturing mortgages in the fall that have an average interest rate of 6%.
That haven't been refinanced yet.
That have not been refinanced. Okay. We already did the one refinancing.
Yeah, we did the
288. So basically, $31 million at an average rate of 6%. We can certainly do better. So there's a savings there we would expect. I don't want to do it any earlier because there are penalty payouts and some other complexities. So
sure. So it looks like almost about $900,000 roughly in savings.
Potentially,
yes.
Okay. Yes. Rates stay the same and whatnot. Okay. That's all for me. Thanks, guys, and look forward to Q1.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The following question is from Nelson Ma of Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, I just relate to the last question. So what would be the up finance potential on those mortgages?
In terms of, as mentioned, there's $30.8 million coming due. An average interest rate is 6%. We feel that we can obtain, closer to the 3. That's what we've been doing. So the savings there on an annualized basis is approximately $1 million in terms of finance costs. On two of those 3 loans, we would expect that we would achieve a cash injection for under the refi, and it would be reasonable to expect about $4.4 million that could come from those.
Okay, got it. So then, you're getting 4.4 from that. Then what would, you mentioned about Cornwall and redeveloping that and the cost. So what would the approximate cost of that be? Have you looked at that?
It's going to be very tenant specific in terms of the costs, in terms of how the tenant lease deal is structured. You have some tenants that, do all a significant amount of the construction work themselves. You have other tenants that require the landlord to do the construction on by themselves, and therefore their minimum rents will be adjusted, and the yield is adjusted based on those two scenarios. So we do have we have already completed some of the landlord work that we knew we were going to need to do in the fourth quarter. We improved on the roof that was there was a pretty much an original roof, so that's been taken care of. We have some additional costs this year that we'll be dealing with, but overall, once we have more discussions and more specific information, we'll be happy. I'll be very happy to actually present it to yourself and the community.
Has there been interest in that no-frill space then?
Yes, we're actually in very active discussions and with a tenant. I'm not going to say what tenant it is until we actually have a lease in place or a binding LOI in place.
Okay, got it. And so then where are you in this review process?
When you say review process, we hesitate. Are you referring to Cornwall?
Oh, no, sorry about that. Just a general strategic direction of the REIT.
You do.
We've been very, very active on this and continue to be active. The strategic review is ongoing, and the trustees of the REIT are being very diligent about the process, about speaking to all the people who have shown interest with the legal and independent financial advisory input. They really are considering the options to maximize our unitholder value. The REIT and the trustees and ourselves are committed to update the market at the appropriate time. And unfortunately, that's not right now. So, but as soon as we have something, we will definitely be updating the marketplace.
Okay. So, but one of the options would be to continue on as you are, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, so we every day operate as though we are not under strategic review. And you can see that from my comments earlier. We're going to be focused. This is the year that we focus on the properties, and we will continue to do that. Derek, do you?
Yes, I echo Jane's comments. Obviously, there was a significant number of corporate-related events in 2014 with that behind us. And with some of the refinance we've been able to do and shoring up the balance sheet and our liquidity, we we've had a complete changeover in the staff. They've now had more time, with the REIT on the property. So we do feel that we are going to make positive strides that will show, eventually in the numbers. The numbers are usually are a trailing indicator, of course. And so we're looking forward to operating under that basis.
Okay, so then other thing, on your Walmart, so you have like the ones in Montreal, I guess with the Target space coming up, has Walmart done anything or looked at anything else?
We've actually been proactive along the Walmart file. So we actually met with Walmart at ICSC Whistler, and we continue to have open dialogue with them. We are actively engaged, and until we have any announcement, that's unfortunately as far as I can go.
Okay, got it. And my last question is more on Holyrood. So that loan guarantee that you had to do, like, what's the LTV on that Hamilton property then?
Well, we can't comment, but obviously the first mortgagee, the lender in question, had to meet their internal metrics in order to complete the rescission, and they were comfortable enough to take the property back under a first mortgage charge. We have a second mortgage, and we have the option, if there's any default, to take over the property, to take the first mortgagee lender out. And, not that we would be looking to take that avenue, but that would be more under a worst-case scenario. When the loan comes due, we would not be offering the guarantee. And so, that chapter would come to a close.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Michael Brown of Ballast. Please go ahead.
My question's been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. West.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. For those of you who joined the call midway, we would request that you please refer to our earlier statement regarding forward-looking statements. As always, if you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to give us a call directly. Replay information for this call is available in yesterday's press release, and it will also be posted to our website. Thank you again, and goodbye.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.